Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down things each week that made you say a thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Patrick Monahan.
I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. That might be a record.
What up,
that
y'all?
Was a speed run of the intro.
That was
somebody
quick.
Time it. That was fast as hell.
Patty's got places to be.
Going Porky Pig mode.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting it done.
Porky Pig is famously slow talker. Yeah.
Well, he talks fast. Like, he just doesn't. He stutters a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't say a lot. He. The speed of information being relayed is normal, but it is being relayed very quickly.
Truly, yeah. The worst of both worlds.
Anyway, Patty, congrats on getting out of the teacup you were stuck in last week and unshrinking yourself. I heard you had a problem with you got shrink rayed, so very happy you are back to normal.
He was as small as a thimble.
Maybe you're not normal sized, and maybe your computer also got shrunk down, and so you're just a tiny man on a tiny Zoom window.
Yeah.
Also possible.
That would explain a lot, actually.
They do. That's how they do technology. They build big computer chips and they shrink them down real tiny. It's actually all shrink ray technology. So
I'm writing one of those "It Happened to Me" Guardian articles about it. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, one of those
experience whatever the headline is. Yeah,
they'll love it because it's about tea because you got stuck in a teacup. So you know it'll naturally. Brits will naturally be familiar with your predicament.
One of those Discovery Channels, like, I'm still alive, I survived, and it's being hit by a shrink ray and almost having to run across a giant's table with while he was eating dinner and hiding in little cheese holes.
Yeah. Man. I just Googled that section of the Guardian site, and it's like, the headlines are enough. It's classic, like, just scrolling through is delightful. You get, experience, I punctured my lung by eating cereal. Experience, I bake recipes I find on gravestones.
On gravestones?
On gravestones.
Yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing.
Experience, I let a baby bird nest in my hair for 84 days.
Oh, that one made the rounds. I remember that one.
Yeah.
The Isn't baby
that,
bird
is
nest.
This that one guy who writes like really mundane ones?
Oh,
is
that guy
of
kind
this?
Of is hilarious. Adrian Childers, I think his name is.
No, it's people
get mad at him because they're like, oh, he's like in on it. I'm like, I don't care. Keep him coming. Like, these are great. Tell me more about your wooden spoons, man. I love this. This is what all news should be.
And also, it's like clearly, like, that's the entire conceit of his column. And then people are like, this is like a. This kind of humorous column seems to be intentional. It's like, yes, that's a part of writing. Like,
you're disappointed that he's not really a huge dullard? Like, what do you want?
Yeah. I relate to it, too. Like, if you have to write a lot of stuff, like, it's more fun, especially with news now, it's more fun to just be like, I don't think there should be spoons anymore. Like, that's just more fun to fucking write.
Yeah, it's Andy Rooney shit. It's great. There's a long tradition of it, and it is way nicer to read than the actual news. They did an interview with him recently, and it was great because they were like, what's your process like? And he's like, well, normally my columns are due Friday, and Thursday I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? And
very
so
relatable.
I have to, yeah, he's like, I like to sit in a coffee shop for an hour and figure out what to do. And that was his whole process. And we were like, great, that's what I want.
And you think his you think his editor's calling him in and he's like, hey, so we need to talk. Your articles, people think they're weird. And so they've been sharing them everywhere. They've been posting links to them all over social media. It's a huge problem for us. Just the sheer amount of traffic we're getting.
Right.
Right. Good for him for fucking...
Good for everyone involved in this. It's delightful.
Yeah. Come on the pod.
Come on the pod.
I feel like we should reach out. Let's see. Hey, man. Pick something you're mad about. Come on.
Did 60 Minutes ever, like... Was there any effort made to, like, get a new Andy Rooney? Was there, like, a process of, like, filling the... You know, is he, like, the Dalai Lama? There's, like, a new one born?
Yeah. You know what?
They have to search to see who has the curmudgeonly spirit of Andy Rooney. They have to find. Man, I would watch a Kundun about fucking finding the new 60 Minutes guy.
You know, I've never
delightful.
I've never thought about it before, but it's so ironic and like funny that that show is called 60 Minutes, because for the only show that's like called 60 Minutes, it is also the show that never starts on time because it's always after sports. So it's like they're like 60 Minutes, and it's always like 48 minutes long because some playoff game ran long. I was like, we will return you to 60 Minutes upon the conclusion of the fifth fucking hour of this baseball game.
You're the Andy Rooney guy. You're going.
That's
in.
You.
Why isn't this show over 60 minutes?
I feel like Eli would be good at that. I feel like you have. Like Eli Corner kind of is a 60 Minutes, I feel like.
Eli Corner, the segment we did once,
but it is immensely popular. People constantly calling for
People
Eli Corner to come
gagging
back.
Gagging for the return of Eli Corner.
Oh, I gotta start thinking what's stuck
what's
in my craw.
What's the deal with anime?
Yeah. I think
By
everyone
the way,
knows the deal.
We may if you can't get enough Eli and Eli Corner, you can see him live with the other two of us as well. This is a great segue, right? Mm-hmm. July 8th at the Gutter in Williamsburg. We're doing a live show. We're so excited about it.
Yeah, check it
out. Come on out.
Not only that, if you've been eyeing the Patreon and you're thinking about coming to a live show in Brooklyn, you should sign up for the Patreon, because there is a code for patrons. You can find it now on the Patreon that will give you $5 off the ticket. So that's just a free month Patreon. That's
covering your Patreon fees.
Episodes. I like that every successful segue we've ever done on this show is immediately followed by whoever did it going, I did pretty good on that segue, and just like taking it back to zero.
I mean, I was more calling attention to the fact that it was a bad segue, but thank you for actually thinking it was good. Yeah. Thank you.
We should just steal the Block Party little segue song, just jam that in, so, and then just have Shelby do someone else's
really
voice
have...
over John, you know, like...
Block Party really has perfected the problem of segues. Mm-hmm. Like they solved it, you know? They figured it out.
Yeah. I don't see anyone
Kudos
being like, we should really get the What a Time plug song into our podcast. We have actively antagonized plugs.
Someone was telling me they listen to the podcast and they always turn it off right at the plugs. And one time they like left their, they just like left their podcast app running. So it played like every successive plug segment for like a year. So they heard the plug song like 90 times.
They know exactly.
Hey,
plug.
I love your podcast. I turn it off every time you try to promote anything. Thanks.
Yep.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Thanks
more like
look, I can't like.
If I'd ever listen to plugs, I would feel worse. But
exactly.
Yes.
Like I get it. Like especially look, if you like, you should listen to the plugs because we do often do stuff that we would appreciate support for. And if you like our podcast, there are things you would like because there are things that we do.
I like
but if
it.
You know. Follow us on social media and stuff. We also plug stuff there. I'm not upset about it.
Someone listening to all the plugs in a row being like, oh, Eli's not hasn't been booked in a while. It's a lot of, I got nothing going on. All right, see ya.
That's the thing. You should listen to the plugs so that you can, track the success and failure of our careers and own us for it when we don't have anything to
Things
plug.
Are worse than ever.
Exactly,
God.
Man.
Just an outstanding clip right there. Wonderful.
Unlimited use, really.
That's true.
Yeah. Did you guys book? We went to a show. Me and Kath.
Yeah,
went to a concert.
You and I went to Pup. Went to Pup on Wednesday. Had a great time.
Very.
You
good
kind
band.
Of disappeared. Did you? You went up to VIP, right?
I didn't go up there. I think you guys thought I did. I was just standing behind you, and then you guys were gone.
I know. I feel
left.
So bad because like I just thought you went up to see friend of the show who had a VIP ticket, and so I didn't even look for you. But you were just being a conscientious tall guy.
Well,
and
kind
of standing in the back.
I was doing exactly. I was standing next to a pillar. There's also because we were with some other friends of the pod, and I was like, where we were directly in front of me was David Citrick, probably one of the other only other people my height, and so I couldn't see. And I was like, "Well, this sucks." And so,
that's really funny. Also, Citrick positioning himself directly in front of you.
Yeah. Also, just somehow like a channel had opened up right in front of me that was like had become the thoroughfare to the like pit, and I was like, "I'm just gonna stay on the back." But it was still good.
We did abandon you, which I'm very sorry about.
It's
it was
fine.
A fun show.
The security wanted people out. They were like, if you stood still for a second, they were ushering you out. But it was very good. I will admit, it was my first like, I mean, I've been to shows and stuff, but it was my first concert of that scale in any sort of way. And
yeah,
I did,
it was
like,
big.
It did make me like emotional at one point because I was like, oh man, you know, not that it's over, but I was like, I haven't been to something like this in a long time.
Yeah, it's really nice to experience, have a collective experience with a big group of people. It's always cool. And Pup is always great. And I remember we were talking on the bonus a while ago about scary mosh pit stuff and like how one of the scariest times I've been in a mosh pit was at one of the first like big shows that Pup did in New York. And I thought it was very cool. They were like very conscientious about making sure people did not get hurt in their mosh pit. Mm-hmm. And so thumbs up to that. Go see Pup. If you are scared about people kicking you in the face, Pup will ensure that does not happen.
So. Yeah. We had another friend that was like in the pit, and it turned out there's one person that they sort of stopped the show and was like, and like pointed, they're like, don't do that. And the person who's next to them told them was like, it was just like two shithead friends, and one of them just punched the other one in the head. And then they're like, don't mosh like that. And they're like, I'm just hitting my friend in the head. Like,
it's fine. I'm not hitting anyone else.
I mean, still not. I still think that's an appropriate response. Don't hit people. Don't punch your friend in the head in public.
Don't be windmilling.
Go to your fight club if you're going to do that. Don't do it at a concert. It's not right. But that's good. I'm glad nobody like unconsenting got assaulted. That'd be nice.
Yeah. Somebody's glasses got absolutely destroyed. That was fun to see. Someone held it up and they were like, did we lose their glasses? And they were absolutely flattened and shattered.
like classic a nerd in the 50s. Yeah. Just bent, just shattered.
Just finally there's time ass glasses just destroyed. No books read, regardless, but yeah, check out Pup. They're a good band. It's fun.
I really liked the opener too, Sheer Mag. Sheer Mag was awesome. Like, I listened to them recorded and they're good, but like seeing them live was really great. That front woman, she's got pipes, man. She was great.
I was hoping to see them, but then someone's leg got caught in between the train and the platform, which
so rude.
How dare they, really? I hope they're okay. I can't imagine they are, but it was weird. I was telling people, I guess that's like a New York thing where it's like the train was really like something was clearly super wrong, and then you get like a notification, you get an update, it's like someone was struck by a train. And in New York, I guess you get kind of jaded to someone just like jumping or something once in a while. And then when it updated and it was like, oh no, they didn't actually like get full hit. Their leg got caught. And it was so much worse to me somehow, even
that
though
is
that's
so scary.
Less mortal. I mean, less critical. It's like, oh my God.
No, that's terrifying. That one time I was at a train station in India and they had to pull somebody up from the tracks, like right as the train was coming. And it was very scary.
Why would God let this happen?
Exactly, Shelby. Well, on that dark note, should we do numbers?
Oh, yeah, sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Number 5.
Wow.
Hell yeah. Is this me? This is me. So this story comes to us from Machine Gun Bussy in our Discord. If you subscribe to our Patreon at the $10 a month level, patreon.com/whatatimepod, you too can submit stories to our story submission Discord channel, and we'll read your name on the podcast, and we would love to get some new people in there so we don't have to keep saying Bussy. That would be great.
The new people will also it'll be just more Bussy. It's a variety in the Bussies.
It's a contagion.
It's a problem. So this story comes to us from Machine Gun Bussy. This really cracked me up. So it's a story about Britain's, quote, dullest playground. So I don't know how, I don't know what the research, you know, what the process was for determining this. But, yeah, there's this playground in Westminster, London. It had one piece of equipment on it, and the piece of equipment is absolute bullshit. It is, I'm going to send you guys a picture. It's like,
it's like a bendy ladder. I don't even know how to articulate.
It's like a bendy ladder. About. It's like a shitty, like calling it a jungle gym is an overstatement, but it's clearly for kids to clamor on. Like it's a clamoring.
Where did you get this picture? Cool. Who's this guy? It's just a guy standing next to it.
I got texted this yesterday. No.
It's from an article. I don't know this man. It is,
the guys are standing there like, next to this it. Sucks, or whatever.
I can't, yeah.
He's for scale. He's yeah. for scale.
I can't stop thinking, this just turns into like that scene from Bob's Burgers where Tina hits the only car in the parking lot. Like, you take your kid to the playground and they just injure themselves on this. So it's like, how did you even, there's nothing there.
How did you manage?
How did you knock your tooth out on?
How did you end up in the tree of woe on this stupid,
yeah.
single
kids, man, kids on jungle gyms will just fully do the tree of woe to themselves all the time. They love it.
I remembered, I just like out of nowhere remembered a game that we used to play at my elementary school playground that I have just like, good God, that was dangerous. Where it was like an ascending jungle gym shaped like a house, you know, like a your classic house. And what you would do is you two people would climb up from opposite sides to the top. So you're like 10 feet off the ground. And then you would just kick each other as hard as you can until one person fell. And that was And I was just like, only like two people shattered their arm. And it should have been every time. Just
should have been all of you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just basically a death match. Just like whose parents are about to go to the hospital.
King of the Mountain shit. That's a wildly dangerous game that all children invent. Mm-hmm. Real Lord of the Flies shit. Yeah. If kids see something they can climb up to the top of and push other kids off of, they will do that, I think. So this little playground, it had one piece of equipment on it. The story gets worse. Not only is this piece of equipment absolute bullshit, they took it out. So now there's just nothing, which is what the story is about, that they have removed the one piece of equipment from this quote-unquote playground.
That's why they took it out. People are like, this is bullshit. And we're like, well, let's see how you like it with nothing. Let's see how you like it with no bullshit on it.
Things climb on this.
Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, now it's just a piece of pavement, which, as Shelby said before we started, that's basically what all public school playgrounds in New York are like. It's just a piece, mm-hmm. Like a empty pavement. And as Shelby said, they just go outside and yell. That's what they do.
Yeah.
In schools in New York at recess, they just stand outside and yell.
Yeah, that's what you do.
If you live near a school, that is absolutely the impression you would have of what recess is.
It's just like I remember like kind of playgrounds with like my middle school didn't really have any much equipment. It just trains you. It's basically like a bar. Like everybody's just standing in different groups and like
we didn't
talking.
Have. Recess in middle school. We didn't have.
They didn't
there was
let
no.
You outside?
No, there was no. I mean, we'd go outside for gym, but there was no.
You just moved all the. They moved all the desks the to the sides through. Of the walls, and they played like Red Rover or 7-Up or something.
You like ate lunch at your desk?
No, I mean there was a cafeteria.
Oh, that was part of their problem. We didn't have a cafeteria. Or we did.
Oh, okay.
They ate lunch at their desk because they had to keep working.
Yeah, exactly. Working lunch every day for sixth graders.
Yeah. Sweet Green came in and gave you a $15 salad.
Good news. You don't have to go outside to get your $17 salads, everyone.
Yeah.
No, I feel like they did. I feel like they did like a reverse psychology. Oh, God. Is that fucking TikTok guy?
We should probably get the numbers.
The vibe, you're just like 10 out of 10.
Did you guys see that?
TikTok? Oh, that's the guy who like went to like 600 places in one day. That seems like the least fun thing imaginable.
Yeah, like someone was like, I love that this guy manages to make living in New York seem like it sucks. But yeah, so I feel like what they did at my middle school was kind of a reverse psychology thing where they were like, playground. Playgrounds are for babies. You guys aren't babies, are you?
Like the Nathan for you? With the, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it worked.
That's the one thing you don't want to be is a baby. That's the main
exactly.
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, we did not have a... I don't think they even let us really go outside, like other than gym.
Well, I'm remembering now that I don't think any school I went to before college had an actual functioning cafeteria. So they were just sort of like, go sit on a rock. Yeah.
They didn't serve food? They didn't.
They'd serve, but you like, it was like people would go down and get stuff at like a window, I think, because nobody really.
There was nowhere to sit.
Yeah. Because it was in. I don't even know where it was in my mid. I almost said the name of my middle school, which I guess it doesn't really matter. But like the last one was like, it was literally in the basement.
Someone's gonna go get your permanent record.
It was like, yeah. It was like in the basement.
The Eli stands are gonna descend on the middle school and get your permanent record.
The one in the high school is like in the basement with no windows, and it was like, yeah, you only would go there because nobody was getting no one was getting cafeteria food except for the like if you got reduced lunch or free lunch.
I mean, and ours also was a windowless basement, but it was where we ate meals. Like, that's a cafeteria.
I mean, I guess they just were like, this is not a good place for everybody. Also, there was 1,200 kids in the school, so I'm sure that when they
it was a cafeteria. It just sucked, so no one ate down there.
Well, I'm being attacked on this podcast. I guess I'm saying it was like too small, and they just no one like the school didn't require you to be down there, and they let you outside instead. They were like, you can go do whatever. Because
no, ours we're just underfunded. Also sucked. They just didn't let us outside.
If you're an administrator at Eli's school from when he grew up, feel free to send us an email. We'll have you
send
on for equal
record.
Time.
Yeah, because if you're a DC public schools administrator, you got a lot of time to do stuff other than desperately try to get more colored pencils.
If you want to respond to these attacks on the cafeteria.
DCPS administrators are like, hey, we're trying to figure out a way for kids not to have to share SAT bubble scantrons. Like, everyone's doing half an SAT and then we're doubling the score. So this is actually pretty bad. No joke, they timed my SAT on a microwave that was in the classroom.
Okay, that's
pretty
good.
They put it on the timer.
That's awesome.
it was good. Yeah, shout out to DCPS. But
I'm just imagining like I'm imagining them timing it on a microwave, but not using the timer and just turning on the microwave for like 4 hours and it exploding.
Yeah, they absolutely
just superheating.
A Trader Joe's pot pie fucking exploded in the middle of the SAT.
Like there's some crumbs in there that just got burned to hell from it being on,
just annihilated.
Yeah. Nuked into like just you basically created like the Large Hadron Collider in there. Like the atoms got separated from those crumbs. And you just created
pencils down.
Mutant.
Yeah, exactly. Hey everyone, the microwave just went off. Everyone gets 5 minutes to go drink lead poisoned water out of our fountains and come back. Your score will drop from when you left the room. Yeah.
Each section gets progressively worse at it because of the lead water. Oh, but public school. Lovely.
Shout out to a good school. Still enjoyed it. I think that trains you better for the world than, you know.
You went to the school of hard knocks.
That was the official name.
I will say my elementary school had an awesome playground. Extremely good shit. Really great. We had like the wooden jungle gym shit, which was awesome, and then we had like the metal, like the slides, and oh man, so good.
yeah and then all that, and then you just everyone finds the most, basically it's like anything you build, kids are just like, what's the highest part and I'm gonna jump off of it, and then that's all you really need.
And then as we talked about, you do the tree of woe. You hang upside down off of it until all the blood rushes to your head, and that's like the little kid version of doing drugs. Is like, that's how you know who's like at risk for substance abuse, is the kids that hang upside down for as long as they can and like run around.
Or the ones who literally played, what was it, Spaceman? Where you just choked each other until you blacked out. So
it would be safer to just give kids like that drugs.
They'd still be doing the same shit, just on drugs.
What is, Shelby is going off now. I don't know what is going on.
Is there
on.
Like a...
Hey, do you have any modem sounds there?
Someone using a microwave sound on the soundboard? Like, what is going on here?
So you missed last week. 56K dial-ups.
He had some really insane ones last week, too. I can't remember what they were, but they were like, why is that on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all know what it is.
Exactly. Well, anyway, this playground sucks. That's really what the story is. It's the worst playground.
I'm almost on the side of the boomer meme playground, where it's just like, why do you need all these climbs? Just go. Why don't you go beat the shit out of each other with a stick or whatever?
Learn how to start a small business out there or something.
When I was a kid, we'd just throw rocks at the weirdest kid. Why don't you do that anymore?
Back in my day, our recess was purely bullying. We didn't need any props.
Yeah.
We don't need any extra stuff. But I think like the playgrounds that I played on as a kid were made when boomers were kids. They were like very old. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Did I don't know if they'd even slide? Be... Big oh, we slide? Had hot slide.
Big
absolutely.
Hot slide. Ooh, boy. Just absolutely remove all the skin from the bottom half of my butt cheeks. Love hot
a big
slide.
Hot slide. Yeah. That a sensation that cannot be replicated in any other environment. Yeah.
Attempting to like get off it and then one of your knees gets it because you like kind of go too far for not a good feeling.
Yeah.
The sound, the streaky sound of like a butt going down the hot slide. So bad.
Oh my God. I almost like I bet if my mic was closer to us, I could replicate it, but like
that. I wonder if Shelby has that sound on the soundboard. I can't imagine he does.
Don't tempt him.
A challenge.
You just need like a hard surface and some skin to like. I can't get it. Yeah. Man. And the awful spiral slide where you would just tumble out of the first turn. It was like too tight. Man.
Yep. And then you'd go down the spiral slide and not realize a kid would be climbing up the other way and just take him out.
Just a drop kick into the face of some kid that got stuck.
Yeah.
If they found like millennia from now, they're just going to dig up and they're going to be like, we assume this based on the skeleton, this person was probably involved in some sort of gladiatorial combat. It was like, no, they were just on slides. They have a billion hairline fractures in every extremity of their body. Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to playgrounds. Very fun.
Good time. Can't go on them anymore.
Can't go on them anymore.
there was just before we move on, there was an article in Reason, which is like the libertarian magazine or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I
saw that.
And it was like...
Oh, you got your subscription worked out.
That's right. I actually wrote this. I'm just plugging something I wrote. And it was like... it was something like... I watched children playing at the playground. The police were called or something like that. And it's like, I have like, rights. I'm allowed to be here. I'm on the public sidewalk. Yeah. And it was written by a woman. So it's not exactly what you think of when you think of libertarian. But... yeah,
pretty, but that is like a central issue to libertarians.
Yeah,
absolutely. Is that they need to be allowed to watch elementary school kids.
She was also shaking the chain link fence and grunting though, which you're not allowed to do.
It's very just like, it's like, I don't know, like, because like it's like the, well, fine, get your boss over here. Let's explain it to me. It's like, I don't just get out of here. I don't know. Like, what are you doing? Like, get out of here.
Get around. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Come on. Like, do you have anything to do? Do you mean where to be? Like, oh, I just like, are any of these your kids? Yeah, get out of here. Like, you're like, come on.
Look, the parents just don't want you around, and that's like, all you need to know. Like, that's as far as, do you want to argue with parents that you want to be able to watch their, just get out. Just get out of here.
But she got an article out of it, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her right, her inalienable right to watch children is being compromised.
Just singing the battle hymn of the Republic as she walks away. You know?
Yeah. I can't imagine, like, I just feel like, if I were in that situation, which I wouldn't be because I like kids not that much, but if I were in that situation and someone, it was like, ma'am, you have to go, I would be mortified. I would be like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I was just like, you know, like it just the idea that you would then try to argue the like legality of it. And I would be like, tell no one of this. No one can know.
I'm normal. I'm normal.
I'm absolutely normal. I just had some time to kill. Like, I just don't. Yeah. Wild. wild way to go with it. But yeah, at least we got a watch yet another for children. Thing, like,
that sounds like a pretty good deal.
Play the Seinfeld music at yourself, Shelby.
Punish yourself. I do like on the subway when there's like a really tiny kid that just kind of seems to be like, especially if I'm standing up, just like staring at me. And I just loved it. Like, you can give him a little thumbs up. You're like, yeah, I'm big. I'm a big guy. What's up? I always want to be like, eat your vegetables and then wink at their parents. But I don't think that's allowed. So I don't.
That is cool, though.
Yeah.
That is cool that they regard you as an oddity.
Just little kids are just fun. Like, oh. Yeah,
that's like not unlike what they're just like staring.
Yeah,
at
it's like the little like the little noise. Yeah, they literally say the word awe out loud, which is what they're feeling.
Yeah, come over here, little man. I'll dunk you in a basketball hoop. Show you what the world's like up here.
That, I mean, man, when I was a little kid, I feel like my whole like motivation for all of my actions was trying to get somebody to dunk me in a basketball hoop. Just like lift me up and like throw me around. I didn't want to get hurt. I just wanted to be like, picked up and held up. Like, I wanted to be like Lion Kinged.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, make me, I want to know what being big looks like. That was like kind of my whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, we should move on from this playground. Good luck to these British kids.
They'll figure something out.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Number four.
Number four also comes to us from, I'm sorry to have to say, Machine Gun Bussy.
Rat-a-tat.
It's about turtles.
I like turtles.
Yeah. Basically, turtles migrate and they go from different, you know, all over the ocean and stuff. Apparently, turns out they don't really seem to know where they're going. They just kind of have a ballpark idea of where they have to get to, and they get there when they get there. They basically tracked a bunch of hawksbill turtles as they swam from their nesting grounds in the Chagos Archipelago. I'm not sure where that is, but I guess that's also in the Indian Ocean. So basically, they were like, let's see how on target these guys are. And they found out that they kind of go all over the place on their way there. One in particular swam 1,306 kilometers to reach an island that's just 176 kilometers away. Now, that, hard to view that as a success.
The enormity of their stupidity is just overwhelming.
not a successful journey. Maybe you stop at a gas station or something, you know, I know where I'm going, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They
migrate, but they don't know where. It's like, an annoyed parent. It's like, I'm just driving. I just got to go.
It's like it's like the general location on your phone. When you say precise versus not precise on the iPhone, it's like that. They have it's very zoomed out circle they have to get to. And
they sort of know the direction generally, and then they just kind of wander.
Yeah, they like
they mosey.
They use they nest and then they forage, and they're not in the same area, and so they think that they have like a geomagnetic location. That's kind of what they thought before, but now they've revised that to think that it's a fairly coarse resolution is the way the guy describes it, which I think is
just
right.
Just guessing.
Very rough idea of where they have to get to.
This is just more evidence that like, it's wild that these things are not extinct yet. Like everything about them is just like, you should be dead. This should not work. Like they're kind of, it's interesting that like, I feel like turtles are like, you think of, when you think of evolution, you think of like the Galapagos Islands and stuff, but it's like turtles and tortoises are kind of like a counter argument to evolution. Because it's like, how did you get this way? Like, your eggs are delicious and you don't protect them. And then your babies have to like...
For animals, I was like... Sea turtle eggs?
Delicious. I'm one of the predators. Yeah, I go to the beach, I dig them up.
Every time we take a break in between the main and bonus episode, Kath lops off the top of a leathery sea turtle egg and drinks it on camera.
Just sucks it down. Yep. Delicious. Yeah, man, they're just, I'm glad they're around. I love them.
They live forever. That's the deal they made.
They do live forever. They live like 300 years. Only a couple of them have to make it, and then they're around.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, it says that they, like, if they were perfect navigators, they would have been taking direct paths. But like some of the turtles they were tracking hadn't eaten for 4 or 5 months, and I guess they can do that. I guess they don't die because they're, you know, but that's a long time.
I guess that is, yeah, that explains it. It's like they have all these other traits that make up for the fact that like they don't know where they're going, and they like 90% of their babies get eaten.
They're just trying their best.
They have imagine a lot of room for error.
I relate to them quite a bit. I really do.
A 300-year-old tortoise at Thanksgiving dinner just saying shit so racist that like even American race is like, what? Like they're just going off about like 1700s ideas.
Well, it also tracks that they haven't eaten in 4 or 5 months if they're that old, because like old people be eating a bite of something and then are full. So
old people be having a crumb for lunch.
Dude, my grandma, she has like one potato chip and is like, I couldn't possibly. Like,
she needs to train my dad. He's grazing. He sets
oh,
up.
Oh yeah.
He likes to set up a couple different boxes around the kitchen and then happen upon them. Like true Wallace and Gromit fucking snacking behavior from my dad. Just a lot of like happening upon a bag of chips he already opened. Like, ooh, is someone to leave this out? And then he's going nuts. He's going nuts on the things. Get roasted.
Well, yeah. You know, these turtles are doing, they're doing fine. Apparently the all they have to do is swim vaguely west and eventually they'll hit Africa. That's basically the plan.
Okay.
So, you know, fair enough, I guess.
It's true. I mean, Africa's pretty long. So as long as you're going west, you're not going to miss it.
But when they get close enough, I guess they can start to, I guess they have a good sense of smell underwater. So they can like start to smell or like visual, like see things that they recognize. I don't know. I mean, animals are wild, man. That's not a very,
that is
opinion.
An objective fact of them.
Yeah,
they are
wild. That's true. But when we were on the way to the airport, when I was being flown home from being in the teacup and stuff.
You were getting evacuated.
Yeah. But we were in the car and like Willie started to like go off when we got like within like striking distance of the airport. Basically, he was like looking around and getting, because he like comes to pick people up and stuff, so he gets very excited. And he knew, like, you know, just from like, you know, it's not like he knows the way. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's like smelling / whatever other cues there are out there. So I don't know. Anyway, turtles are like that.
He smelled a Panera bread. He knew he was near the airport.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Zelda's definitely like that with like, I had to bring her to the vet last week and she knew she was going in the carrier like an hour before I even started putting her in, like trying to get her in the carrier. Like she knew something was up. She could just.
Well, yeah.
The vibe shift had come.
The vibes were just like 10 out of 10.
They were. The vibes of putting Zelda in the carrier are zero. absolute 0 out of 10. Terrible vibe.
I feel like it's even like for cats, it's like probably. Because like dogs. I feel like dogs are more likely to like go on a vacation with the family than a cat is. So like maybe dogs are like, okay, 1 out of 5 times I've been put in here, I've gotten to a beach. But cats are just like, every time I get put in this,
something bad is happening.
I get dropped on a stainless steel table.
Yeah, she's like, I mean, it's fine. It used to be more difficult with her. She's better now. Like I always get her in on the first try, knock on wood at this point. But yeah, she is not thrilled. It's never good. She screams the whole time. I have to tip a Lyft driver 100% because she is just going off in the back of in the back of some poor Lyft driver's car. But
you know. The trick is if you want to get like really fast care at a vet, don't bring your pet in a carrier. Bring them in your arms when you're soaked in rain and just be crying and just be like, please. And then they're like, yeah, she has a toothache. It's like, no.
That like.
Please, sir, my cat. She's very pissed off.
She's very angry. She's clawing the shit out of my arms. Please.
Yeah.
That is exactly what it is like.
It's always got Mario paint going over there or something.
Yeah.
Just using the composer tool.
Sounds like a virtual vet on Newgrounds. It's like meow 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 meow.
I wish it was that. It's a lot more anguished than that little meow. Mm-hmm. when I have to do that to her. But you know,
I wonder if you could.
She lives. She's just dramatic.
What happens if you bring an endangered animal to the vet, and then you're like, "Yeah, this is my sea turtle," and they're like, "You can't.
Where did you bring get in
a,
this?
Just a full-on tiger? Just
I did see. Yeah, I saw Pawn Stars. No, I saw Pawn Stars where a guy brought in. I guess it was an old thing they used to do. It's a tortoiseshell guitar where the actual body of the guitar is made out of a tortoiseshell. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm looking at." And then they're like, "All right, you know, let me call my fucking friend.
I'll call my dead turtle guy."
Well, it was cool because they called in a guitar guy that was like exactly, you know, real Guitar Center vibes. And the guy's like, "Yeah, man, this is a sick guitar. Unfortunately, selling this is like could get you like 2 to 3 years in jail because it is an endangered." Like, I was just like, "Oh, cool." And then they had to, like, you could just see him in his head. He's like, "I'm just gonna sell this not on television is what I'm
gonna
do."
Yeah.
But I mean, what are you gonna do, put the tortoise back in there? It's done. Guitar's it's made done.
Yeah, this guy it's didn't hooked. Make it, I assume. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
no,
wow,
it's like vintage fur. It's like, well, you put it back on somebody, that's already happened.
Yeah,
what can you do?
Just go find the chinchilla.
Man, yeah, I like, obviously I don't think we do not need fur at this point in society. There is no need to keep making anything out of fur. But have you ever worn fur? It's fucking great. It's really good. Like,
watch out, we're already gonna mention PETA on this episode. They're gonna track you down.
Like I said, they should not make more of it, but it is extremely warm and soft.
The vibe
and good.
Are just like 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's me wearing a mink coat. The vibes are 10 out of 10. My friend inherited a bunch of fur from her grandmother, and I've played dress up in it.
Just loose fur.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Her grandmother was very hairy. Fur.
Just pelts. Yeah. She was Quebecois.
Your parents she was walking a trapper. In. Your parents walking in to two kids playing with a box of loose fur, and the kids are both just like, so much hair in their throat. Yeah,
I think there might be an old. I think there's an old mink coat of some ancestor of mine in my parents' attic somewhere. It's probably ruined by now, but yeah, I don't know. It is good. It mm-hmm. is. It feels real nice. It's very warm. I get why animals grow it on themselves. It was a good strategy.
Good work out there.
Yeah, I like it. I like the. I just like to wear a real old vintage coonskin cap, so I can feel that soft tail on my neck.
Did you know I was
going Crockett
reading about?
Mode.
Yeah, I'm going full Crockett.
Like the like trend. So in France, like around in like the 19th century or whatever, beaver skin caps were like a super popular fashion trend. They were like all the rage, and that is basically like why the United States exists. It's like it's just, I don't know. I was reading about the history of St. Louis a while ago and how like the entire economy of the early United States was just because these sickos in France wanted to wear beavers on their heads.
Yeah.
It's wild.
They were like, "Hey, we love these hats. Why don't you go have a war about it? Why don't you go?
Why don't you kill all of the animals who we make these hats out of?
We'll send the ships, so we'll back you guys up. Also.
Yeah.
For hats. Just blows my mind.
For hats. Made out of like a beaver's ass. Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. A hat made out of a beaver's ass, where I don't know what the French word for hat is, but you go to the bar and all the French people go, "Hat."
Yeah. Like it's also like when people are talking about it, and they're like, "All this because of spices and salt." And it's like, well, if you've had unsalted food, it's absolute dog shit.
Yeah,
like,
no,
I would get
that's
it.
The thing
you,
that's like,
you go find that shit.
For spices and salt, I'm like, bad, but understandable. For a dumb hat, just for a dumb hat that was popular for like 20 years, that's what's crazy to me.
According
salt,
to Google,
very important.
The word hat in French is chapeau, so that's what everyone was saying.
Chapeau!
Was it, Kath, is this your bit? Somebody had a great bit, I wish I could remember who it was, about how awful it is that England, like, colonized so many countries for spices and then doesn't even use them. Like, did all that, and they were like, nope, just
too
unseasoned
spicy.
Mashed potatoes for yours truly.
Yeah.
Chapeau trapaus.
Yeah, that occurred
colonialism
to me as well.
Too spicy. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Well, these turtles.
What are we talking about?
Sea turtles. Oh, these turtles. And how yeah. bad they are at migrating.
Look, they're doing good. They're doing what they need to do. So, you know.
They're doing their best. Yeah.
Their house is on them. They're fine.
Yeah.
They can just
they don't need
in.
To pay for Airbnbs. They're like...
Yeah, every turtle has like the whole like I Dream a Genie situation going on in there. They got like the little right. setup.
Mm-hmm. It's like the TARDIS, Pokemon man. Retcom. They're a little Pokemon.
The vibes are just like 10 out of 10.
They have good vibes in there. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure we've talked about it before. One of my favorite retcons for nerds who are like, are the Pokemon uncomfortable? And Nintendo is just like, actually, it's their favorite place. So shut up.
Right.
They love it in there.
They don't can't you get it get It's off actually our annoying that back. You. They actually don't like that you make them come out of there. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah, it's actually, Pokemon it's actually messed up you. For you to ask that. Yeah.
It's illegal for you to ask me that, actually. But yeah, these turtles, they are not in a hurry. That they are famously not in a hurry. So mm-hmm. it makes sense. Good you for know, them.
Maybe we're pushing our fast modern lifestyle on them and they love trudging.
They like going the they like taking the scenic route.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're not using gas. So
hi, folks. If you're enjoying the main episode, you might want to check out our bonus. It's our 199th one, I believe. This week, we talk about booze,
Bali,
broken bones, and more.
I was and That's more and b-more, trying b-more. To make it alliterative.
Yes.
Check it out.
Plenty more stuff.
Yeah, it's a good one. Check it out.
Bye.
Let's do number 3.
Bye.
Well done. One, Kath is two, snapping.
Snap. No, I didn't hear the number 3. There we go. I was sorry to snap at you, Shelby. I was snapping
number
like
three.
A...
Kath's Starbucks order is getting
out. There we go.
Perfect.
Hello, white woman here. Thank you.
If you want a quarter in that tip jar, you're going to go chop chop on this.
Yep.
Kath wants to speak to Shelby's manager.
I do.
Kath needs
that
wet
be?
Panini now. She's like, hey, you know how this sandwich is already wet? Can you throw it in like a steam oven for a hot second?
Excuse me. This panini is a little dry. Could you, dampen, moisten this panini for me, please?
I tell you about when I worked at Trader Joe's, a lady ate half a thing of Trader Joe's sushi and then brought it back because it wasn't very good. And we had to refund. I was like, hey,
I really
you
like,
bought sushi from Trader Joe's.
I really like the phrase wasn't very good, too, because it's like, I mean, it was fine. It wasn't like this sushi is bad. This sushi wasn't very good.
Yeah, no, like almost a direct quote. Really burned into my head. Like, all right, cool. So do you want me to send this, it's $5.99 back to your credit card, or do you want that in store credit? Like, what?
She just gets it in store credit and buys the same sushi again. She's like, thank you.
Yeah, better one.
Okay, so this story comes to us from NCHammer326 in the Discord. So this is UK wrestling. If you follow wrestling, you know that UK wrestling is a total nightmare. It is just plagued by problems, I would say. Some of them funnier than others. Some of them involving some pretty dark shit, but also funny stuff. And this is thankfully one of the funny stories about it. So there was a wrestling show at the Conservative Club in Seaham, County Durham, at the end of last month, where it was a death match. It was a promotion called Colliery Championship Wrestling. And they were like, wrestling show down at the Conservative Club, like small town, fun, rec center type event. They offered family discounts. So if you brought your kids, you could get some cheap tickets. What they did not advertise was that this was going to feature a death match. And it's pretty fucking gnarly. There are dudes smashing glass tubes on each other's backs. It's two, like... very meaty looking British guys, completely cut up. One of them has like a full red mask of blood. And
is that a weed whacker? He's hitting him with a weed whacker.
One guy is hitting another guy with a weed whacker.
By which I mean, like, he has it turned on and is like whacking the guy's.
That is the implication.
As if the guy is a weed. That is what's going on.
He's treating this man
like
a weed.
Yeah, he's whacking. He's not hitting him with the pole. He is weed whacking him as if he is a weed.
Yeah, just in a lot of blood. Just.
And yeah, they show the poster, and it, I mean, it doesn't look good.
I have perhaps the stupidest question about deathmatch wrestling. Yeah. When they deathmatch wrestle, because famously, you know, wrestling rings are canvas or whatever, some fabric. Yeah. When they deathmatch wrestle, I guess this goes against how deathmatch wrestling works. I guess they don't, like, put something down, do they?
They sometimes
like a
do.
Towel or something?
They sometimes put, like, a cover over it. They definitely will, like...
Cut up a couple trash bags, put that on there. Just...
I mean, I will say I know multiple wrestlers who've gotten staph infections from canvases. So, like, it's gross. They're not the cleanest.
I imagine it's, like, not easy to take the ring off. It's not like a fitted sheet where you can just
kind of... They do it, like, bigger events. Like, if they're doing a death match at, like, a legit promotion, they will have a separate canvas for it. And what they'll do is they'll stack canvases on top of each other. So they'll take the death match one off, and there'll be another one underneath it.
Oh, yeah. That's clean. Yeah, so. Like when they put like a basketball court on top of a ice rink, except the basketball court's covered in blood.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But yeah, I can't imagine that was what was happening at the Seaham Conservancy.
Boys, no death match on the carpet.
That's what's happening in the, you know, British playground. Now it's just there's going to be a death match there on asphalt.
Yeah. So the guy who put this together, so it was brought to the attention of sort of the larger, you know, world by a wrestler named Benji, who is a Twitch streamer, who is the most British wrestler I have ever seen. Extremely British face, and then he has like the AFI, like devil lock, like the sidehawk thing, you know, which is just like truly what all British indie wrestlers look like. And,
he's like, and forgive me for not knowing his name in AEW now, but he was Neville in WWE. Variant of Neville. Yeah.
Yeah. His name now is Pac.
Aren't you supposed to choose like a cool name? Not Neville?
It's kind of, I don't know. I don't think it's not a cool name.
Neville?
I think it's not a cool name, but if you see him, it makes sense. Yeah. And he's scary. Like, no, because you think fucking Neville.
It's like a deliverance thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's like a scary. Yeah. He looks like a goblin. He now wrestles under the name The Bastard, so. Which is one of the best wrestling names.
Neville, like, the Bastard.
Well, his name now is The Bastard Pac. Which, like, I don't like Pac. I think he should just wrestle as The Bastard. I think The Bastard is like one of the funniest wrestling names.
Here comes the Yellow Bastard from Sin City. He's gonna get his gross stuff all over the mat.
I want to show him to Eli because he is like one of the more goblin-y wrestlers.
This guy's pretty goblin-y also. This guy from this article.
Yeah.
I mean, Pac is kind of, he's sort of a dwarf goblin guy. Like, he looks a little Gimli-ish to me.
Now, the match we've all been waiting for. Benji versus Neville. That's just two toddlers fighting.
It's the Charlie bit my finger.
That is correct.
Benji, right. Balto ass name. Oh wow, this guy looks like
he's
pretty
awesome. He's really good.
Oh, yeah, this is bastard. But people used to call him Mighty Mouse. I've heard of this guy before, right?
People called him Mighty Mouse.
Well, that was like a nickname for him because he got a big old ears and he looks like a mouse a little bit.
Maybe.
I've seen this guy before.
His nickname in WWE was the man that gravity forgot.
That sucks. I hate that.
Also,
I
he's
really
famously
dumb.
Short. It's like, I don't know, gravity seems to have a pretty good hold on you, dude.
Well, yeah, but he's a really good high flyer, though. That's the idea.
Does lots of flips and shit like that.
He's
pretty awesome.
That seems to be, I guess it's a center of gravity thing. Because when the one thing I saw was that Kaiju big battle. And I could tell by the end of Kaiju, even by the end of one event, anytime anybody shorter got in the ring, especially if they were wearing a bunch of metallic stuff, I was like, you're about to do 100 flips, and it's going to be sick.
Yeah. Well, wrestling sort of follows video game rules where it's like a little guy can beat a big guy by doing a lot of flips. So like the only way a little guy is going to like be, and there are some exceptions to this, but it's like if there's a little guy in the ring, he's going to get thrown around.
Yeah.
He's going to, he's going to be, you know, I can't remember which of Randy Johnson and Pan Pan was the one who got thrown in Monster Factory, he's that one.
It's basically Shadow of the Colossus. That's, you know, it's that sort of thing. The little guy has to weaken the big wrestler by destroying the pylons that are around the arena. And then the big wrestler falls to one knee. And, you know, I understand.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Benji Twitch streamed this and was like, what the fuck? There are like little kids there. This is crazy. They offered a family discount for kids. And so then the guy who put the event together got in trouble. Apparently there was some like police investigation of like whether this was, you know, appropriate or whatever. And I'm trying to find the quote from the guy. It was so funny. The guy who put it together, whose name is James Barris, he said, he admitted it, quote, wasn't everyone's cup of tea, and said, quote, we have apologized, but how many times do you say sorry? How many times do you have to be penalized in life? Which is very good.
Yeah.
To be like, look, all I wanted to do was to show children unimaginable gore. What do you want from me?
Yeah,
so you need to learn what color arterial blood is.
Yeah, exactly. They need to learn about the dangers of light tubes. It's a scared straight situation.
Yeah, it's like smoking. They're learning a whole pack not of to play with.
Exactly, they're learning not to play with the weed whacker. You know, like
I love this. I love this flyer that's in the article. Also, it's very, it's very, very, very bar show comedy flyer.
Yeah.
Also, so should have been
people not covered in blood in it.
Maybe
it?
A little bit of a sign that one of these guys, Ronnie Thatcher, is in like what appears to be a straitjacket as his like character photo. So watch out,
Ronnie Thatcher.
He also looks, again, like, he looks kind of a lot British like Matt, man. Like Matt Lucas.
I don't know.
Yeah, Matt he Lucas does is. Look. He was like a, he caught. He's a British comic or a British comedian, writer, actor.
Oh, okay. No, I know who he is now because he looks like that guy.
Yeah,
a British comedy guy that looks like that guy. I know. I know who you're talking.
He was the other roommate in Bridesmaids, I believe.
Yes,
right?
I'll say this.
Yep.
He looks like someone that would jump out of a porch chair at you on Halloween when you're trick-or-treating.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys,
I think it's nice they let him wear a golf hat in the insane asylum, though. I know.
That is kind. That is kind of them.
He gets to wear the white bald hat. And he is bald, so.
I'll say, from a graphic design standpoint on this poster, you get, you know, obviously listeners can't hear it, but like, a big part of graphic design is like knowing the flow of the eye through the poster. And because mm-hmm. of that, I think you got to not have one guy with the reddest fucking nipple I've ever seen. My eyes are just like he has a big tribal tattoo over it. And it looks like he just got the tattoo and they hit the nipple a lot.
The photo was taken the second the guy pulled the needle away.
He's like, don't put the plastic on yet. I'm taking a promotional photo.
To be clear, please do not attack us. Please do not attack us, deathmatch participants.
This
Thank
does
you.
Not look real at all. That guy looks shit-faced. The other guy
You say it doesn't look real. This is what like most wrestling posters look like. This is the level. I don't know what about professional wrestling makes you completely unable to learn graphic design, but
it's
like
the same
thing
as comedy. It's exactly the same.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true. I just like occasionally see good comedy flyers. I have never seen a aesthetically pleasing wrestling flyer.
This flyer is so fucked up.
There's like there's one promotion that's run by people who have a screen printing company and their flyers are good.
Okay, that makes
Everything
sense.
Else fucking sucks.
He's wearing the straitjacket, but then he also has like the British bald cap on that like cap that bald guys wear.
The newsy cap. He's as Patty said, it's really nice that they let him have that in the insane.
You get to wear a hat. You don't get to choose anyway because you can't move your arms. So
it makes it seem
on.
Like that's like standard issue in British asylums.
They pop a little newsy cap.
Yeah, like
on
how
you.
Prisons give you vans. They're like straitjacket and then a van, you know, a little newsy
the
cap.
The other thing, though, about this is that the straitjacket in the photo is clearly unsecured.
Yeah.
Like it is clearly just
well, that's how you know he's
open
dangerous.
In the back.
They are also, I don't know if this is just a happening of when the photo was taken, but they are both cross-eyed in the photo, which is just like, take another shot.
That's just British wrestling. Like, that's just what they look like.
Yeah.
It's they can't help that.
It's the Habsburg showdown. It's just...
I think it's very funny this was took place at a place called the CM Conservative Club. I'm still getting over that. What does that mean? Is that like a political place? Yeah. Like, what?
No idea, but I'm sure they're very posh, and so we're horrified by this. Also, in the picture of the deathmatch thing, you can see that, like, there's so much... The background of the Weed Whacker picture, there's one woman, like, cowering in the corner.
Looks like
all
she
the chairs are empty. And then there's, like, a pile of, like, detritus or something in the background. Like, no one... This is for no one. No one is having fun. Yeah,
this is also
it's dark.
It's off the ring, which is common in wrestling. I know you get tossed out of the ring and stuff, but it is on what seems to just be the carpet of this
carpet.
Yeah, like,
just bleeding.
You're gonna have
death
to pay
match wrestler
to
blood.
Rip this all up.
This also,
yeah, because Blizzard here is covered in blood.
From a performance perspective, too. Like, it's hard. Like, you know, comedy when you're bombing, you can kind of comment on it and kind of write the ship, or you just sweat it out and you get out of there. I think bombing when you're playing a song for like no one is pretty bad because you can't like pivot out of the
you
song.
Can't get out, yeah.
But this might be the new worst thing where you're like exerting yourself physically, like there's blood everywhere, you're cutting yourself, and people are just like not enjoying it. This is not good.
It is like the level of commitment is so makes it so much worse. It's like because that's how I always feel like stand up. You can kind of play it off like you didn't. You weren't trying to get people to laugh. Like you can sort of like be like, there's ways to do it, but like sketch comedy, it's like you built this set. Like you can't, like you put on that wig. Like you can't really trick me. Wrestling, it's like you're literally opening your veins for this, and people are like, no, thank you.
You're wearing
like,
the crimson mask.
The second picture in this article is so good because it's like. It isn't even two guys involved in like an exchange. It's one guy who looks to be unconscious on the ground while someone hits him with like weed whacks him like at the head. And it's
delightful
for
children. There were children at this
Blizzard.
So,
oh my God.
Good luck to everyone involved. I hope those kids get the therapy they need.
I wonder if he uses his own nipple to open cuts for deathmatch. Does one really
he blades
diamond
blades
hard
his
nipple?
Yeah, man. Just like, I don't know. Like, regional, like, small podunk shitty wrestling stuff can just be so brutal, like, and hard to watch. And it's really, I think it is worse to watch people have a shitty wrestling match than to watch somebody bomb at, like, stadium or something. It's, like, so dark. Yeah, can't recommend it. But go to good wrestling. That's always fun.
That's
all I have to say about that. Should we go to number two?
One, two, number two.
Full use.
Real commitment to this. To this
yep.
bit.
He's making it happen.
So this story, this comes to us from. I found this actually myself. If somebody else also submitted it, let me check. Wet Bigfoot's also sent this in. But this is a story about Oscar-nominated actor James Cromwell, who I think is a big Succession guy. That's probably his like latest big role for him.
He's the I think he's probably most known as the human in Babe. That's probably his most
That'll
famous.
He's the farmer in Babe.
He's the farmer in Babe, and then he's on Succession at the moment.
Which kind of tracks because he is a big time activist.
He's the doctor in iRobot. Thank you.
Oh yes, okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh right, sure. The Will Smith vehicle, or not vehicle? So he's like an activist guy. He's a big animal rights activist, but he was like
in the Black Panthers in the 60s and stuff. He's been doing this stuff for a long time.
Yeah,
he was like a big anti-war activist. Like he is legit. Like respect to him, but also this particular thing is very funny. So
yeah. So he, what he did was earlier this week, he super glued himself to the counter of a Starbucks in New York City to protest the fact that the Starbucks and everywhere like charges extra money for plant milks, for almond milk, for oat milk, stuff like that. I think it's like a 25 to 50 cent upcharge, and I also again think that's pretty common across the board. So he super glued himself to the counter. Then Ray read a prepared statement. I guess he had to have someone else hold it for him because his hands were super glued to the counter.
Do we know that it was his hand? How did he, like, what was glued? Like his skin?
It was his dick. He super glued his dick to the counter.
It was his, I'm pretty sure it was his hands. This article doesn't say hands, but the other one I read.
I feel like if it wasn't hands, they would specify.
It was like his shirt. It's like, okay, man.
Yeah.
You part just of take his off shorts. The jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's, and they, you know, again, I think if you're going to do this sort of thing, it'd be good to have like kind of like a just, focused message just here, look, kind of like.
Just looked it up and it was indeed his penis.
How do you make how do you make a text-to-speech hesitate? That was like, what? How is this text-to-speech being careful? Whoops, sorry.
It's gaining sentience. Yeah. That's the problem. There's a fifth member of the podcast now. It's not even Shelby anymore.
Yeah. So, you know, good to have like a kind of real clear message. This just kind of, he started and he was like, oh, this is discriminating against vegans. And then it was like, it discourages people not to to get plant milk instead of, you know, traditional cow milk. Then went all over the place, said things like, when will you stop raking in huge profits while customers, animals, and the environment suffer? So as you might have a slight inkling, because this is a like wildly stupid animal rights thing that doesn't seem to have an especially clear message outside of being dumb, it's PETA. He's a PETA guy. I guess he didn't get the memo that everybody else did. They were like, hey, just don't. Those guys are real weird. So he super glued himself, started yelling, save the planet, save the cows, stop the vegan upcharge now. One of the things about this too is that it was only half an hour and then he unglued himself. And so that's like, a Starbucks is entirely capable of operating around you if you're super glued to the counter. You know, it's not like you're like chaining doors shut. It's like, yeah, okay, just please go around. Like, you just take orders over the machine instead of at the counter. But also, well,
especially
because
this was in New York, right?
Yeah. This is like the least disruptive thing anyone's done in a Starbucks in New York.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot going on in your average New York City Starbucks. This was like barely, if it wasn't a celebrity, this would be barely noticed because there's just a lot going on in there at all times.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's like I kind of get what they're saying in the sense that like milk is really subsidized and it would be nice if there was a financial incentive for people to use less environmentally destructive you know, like milk substitutes and stuff like that. But it's also like, it just seems like it's classic PETA to be like, oh, people are like, Starbucks is the site of political action right now because there's all this unionizing. Let's make a weird point about oat milk.
Yeah.
In like, while all of these like actual human beings are being exploited by Starbucks,
yeah,
is pretty funny to me.
They're like, hey, I think,
like there's other political news going on. I know there's room for a lot of stuff, but like, yeah, you know, not exactly going to be probably treated well given the other headlines in recent days.
Yeah. Well,
I, the other thing I like about this, though, is that this is exactly what his character on Succession would do. Because his character on Succession is like an old, like, extremely grumpy, like, lefty guy who he's Brian Cox's brother, and he's like, I hate my billionaire brother, he's evil, like, I've renounced all of this stuff. Like, he's the one who he decides because he hates Cousin Greg so much that he's going to give his inheritance to Greenpeace instead of to Cousin Greg, and then Cousin Greg tries to sue Greenpeace, like. So this is just very this guy to me. Like, they cast him right. You know?
I've still not seen Succession. I'm going to get yelled at. This would be like every bar in the past for a year. I'm like, I have not seen it. I mean, the other thing is, I guess PETA just floundered because, like, also given the current climate, they're like, okay, we can't just keep calling it the Holocaust, which was their thing for like 20 years, was just to be like, this is the Holocaust. And people would be like, it's not. And they'd be like, yes, here's another picture of, you know, like, they like Photoshop a cow into a concentration camp and they'd be like, see, and everyone would be like, please stop doing this.
It's sort of like PETA really seems like an op. Like, it seems like it's like the Truth anti-smoking campaign where it was like funded by Big Tobacco, and so it like was famously ineffective. I feel like PETA is that for like animal, like
it's a relic of
the,
like,
meat industry.
It's a relic of like inspiring, like the class, like the, we've always talked about, like the Maddox, like I'm gonna eat three animals. It's like, just be the most obnoxious version of this. And like, yeah, I mean, they did it forever. Like, and then I guess you could argue they're like, oh, it's to bring publicity. That's their whole thing. But it's also like, at this point, publicity isn't
why
even
do you
needed.
Wanna, like, why do you want to bring understands. Publicity to the fact that vegans have a reputation for being annoying?
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to bring publicity to that?
Yeah. When I was, I wrote an article about this, and while I was researching it, I found one where they dressed up outside the Westminster Dog Show as the KKK, as some sort of metaphor or whatever. And it's also like, everyone's literally going to see like dogs. Like we went to a dog show, and it's like,
it's very Westboro Baptist Church, but vegans. Like, that's very, very much the vibe that I get.
It's like, it's really impressive for PETA to find like a way to make ads that like are about factory farms and people are mad at you. Like how are
right
you,
that's like, the thing is like I agree like almost completely with their principles. Like, I feel like it is, we should not eat meat, we should cut way down, like the whole way that our like factory farm system is set up is like horrific, and it seems like it should be an easy argument, you know, and yet they like lose the argument over and over and over again, which is why I think they're an op. I'm saying it here. I'm going out on a limb. My views do not represent the views of the people of this podcast, particularly Patty, who has been notably silent for about 10 minutes. But I think they're fake. I think they're fake. I think James Cromwell is getting taken for a ride. So
get her out. Get her out.
It's the article everyone posts like a thousand times a day. It's like the worst person you know may just made a good point sort of thing.
But it's the opposite. It's like they have good points.
That's referring to calf. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's what I'm saying. It's that article where it's like heartbreaking. The worst person you know just made a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they make, but my thing is like they always make good points. They just make them so badly that you want to disagree with them, is irritating. Anyway,
tomato, potato.
They should make the plant milks cheaper. I agree with him. I'm not going to super glue myself to anything, though.
They can afford it.
Mm. They can afford it. Let's do number one.
One. And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
Congratulations to everyone in South Korea who are all becoming 1 year younger. According to the new president.
One.
Also,
this story comes to us from Wet Bigfoots in the Discord. This is not... apparently, the way they count ages traditionally in the Korean system is babies are already 1 year old the day they're born. Apparently, this isn't a traditional method of calculating age. It was once used across Asia, but I guess... most other countries, if not all countries, have changed to the system where you're zero when you're born, you know, the way we do it, mm-hmm. I guess. But they still, like, you're born at age one. And I guess the he's not just saying everyone gets to be a year younger, which I thought was actually pretty funny. Like, congratulations, you're 29. It's more just the, they're going to undo the counting or something. It seems like that will be complicated. Implement, but just a lot of annoying things have to get updated. But what do I know?
Yeah, those feel like
I just like the idea of. I mean, in this guy, we do not endorse his other political platforms, but I just like the idea of basically it's like distilling what so much American political discourse is about. Of like, it was better when you were a baby and had no responsibilities. You know what I mean? Like all this fake nostalgia for a prior time. So to just run on the platform of like, if elected, I will make you a baby again. Everything will be better. You will be safe in your mother's arms if I'm elected. I will turn back the clocks is very funny to me.
It does. It feels to me like there's like, this is like one of those things where there's some, you know, IT like guy that runs the database in the South Korean government. And they're like, that should be easy, right? Just change. It's going to be like a Y2K thing where everyone's going to like, everyone's age is going to be erased. No one is going to know.
The whole system's going to crash. Time itself will like stop moving forward in South Korea because they'll fuck up all the boxes.
It's kind of, it's kind of like the daylight savings thing here, right? Where it's just like, well, we're done with that, and it's like, all right. I mean, I guess we'll see how that goes. There could be some unintended consequences, but whatever.
The sun will get confused and burn us all. We can't.
That's right.
We cannot anger the sun.
No, we shouldn't anger the sun. It's already angry enough.
Also,
if elected, I promise not to anger the sun.
my opponent has not mentioned at all whether he'll anger the sun or not, which could be horrific.
Look, if you want to take that gamble, you're free to vote for him. But I'm the only one saying I will not anger the sun.
Yeah. Also, peek behind the veil in our story doc. Like, we have, you know, the things to say which story. And Patty's just says South Korea, which makes it sound like we're like, number one dumb thing this week, South Korea. What's the deal over there?
What's
going on?
What are you guys doing? Get out of your PC bangs. What's going on over there?
What's a PC bang?
It's like internet cafes where people go to play video games.
Ah.
They log in there. It's a big problem for... there are problems with it in multiple ways, but not in a particular interesting way. But there is a story every year or so where someone's like, someone was playing League of Legends for 72 hours straight and died in a PC bang. So that's
okay,
that's sort
thanks
of the
for bringing
vibe
that
there.
Up.
That's the vibe
it.
There. I mean, thanks it's the most avoidable death of all time.
Get him out of here.
Thanks for continuing to talk about it. I appreciate that. Anyway, everyone's younger. That's awesome.
Yeah, I guess socially, people have already generally been just like ignoring the official method anyway. So it is one of those things where it's just like, you know, I guess we're just going to drop it or something. Again, it seems like there'll be a lot of things. This is like a societal equivalent of like, when you have to get a new credit card and like having to go into all your subscriptions and change it. There's presumably a lot of places where you have to make those changes, but
it's very triggering that you bring that up to me. Someone whose credit cards have been stolen 3 times this year so far. That's,
do you hang
really...
them off your pants like a flag football?
Okay. Okay. Here's what happened. one time when I was in LA, this was the one time it was my fault, was in LA, because I dropped it and somebody grabbed it.
Right.
Second
in front
time
of you, like, ran away.
Second time, stolen out of my locker at Planet Fitness. They went fucking ape shit at City Point. They saw movies, they went to Buffalo Wild Wings, they went to the Apple store, they went nuts.
They like clipped your lock off?
I didn't have a lock. Because it was really late at night and there was no one there. And they stole it out of my
this
locker.
One.
I still
feel
don't
like
think
we're
going to
go
fault.
Up to two.
We're going to say maybe that's
I don't think that's my
fault.
I don't think that's my fault. I really don't. I feel like that's a thing that happens sometimes. I'm not taking responsibility for that one. Third time, literally just somehow got my debit card number. I think like some kind of like through internet shit. And and spent all my money on Uber gift certificates. So... that was cool. That's happened 3 times this year. I'm really happy about it. It's super exciting to me. And
come to the live show if you want to see Kath's wallet.
we're gonna put Kath's credit card up on the big screen.
Yeah, man.
We'll pass it around. Everybody can check it out.
the code for discount tickets is Kath's CVV, the 3-digit number on the back of the card.
I don't think it getting stolen out of my locker counts as my fault. I did get a lock immediately after that, though, of course. Yeah. And now I bring a lock. But
this is at Planet Fitness?
Yeah.
I'd lock my pants to my... I'd lock my shirt to my back at a Planet Fitness.
I don't know, man. I'm a valued customer. I'm a regular there. I know everybody. I thought
Planet
I was safe.
Planet Fitness is not valued a customer in their entire...
betrayed by someone you know. Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying it was surprising that it happened. I'm just saying. I don't blame myself, is what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's surprising. Mm-mm.
The healing can begin.
Yeah.
Wow. No sympathy for me here. This sucks.
I'm not saying no sympathy. I'm
victim
just saying,
blaming.
You know, just
victim blaming.
Some mild, maybe apportionment of responsibility. That's all. That's all. That's all I was saying. You know. Hey,
Like, stop. That guy doing the squat rack in jeans. I need to check his pockets at the Planet Fitness. Yeah.
But hey, if you're in South Korea, congrats on maybe at some point becoming. I mean, it's a it's a popular issue. 71% of the of the population, apparently, according to polls, are pro winding back the clock. As Cass said, who isn't, right? Your life is going to start to feel like one of those sick days when you were in school that you weren't really sick and your mom took care of you anyway or whatever.
Make me a baby again.
That's right.
One, I will vote for you.
One. So it's actually right. A master plan to disenfranchise specifically 18-year-olds from voting. Set them back. Get them out. I mean, I don't know if they have, like, drinking ages. That would be, if they did it in America and you were 21, you'd probably be medium pissed. You'd be like,
dude, what the fuck?
Yeah. Gotta go back to this. Yeah. I had to go hang out outside of a 7-Eleven again to get beer. It blows, dude.
No.
She'll be very upset.
I don't know who that one was. Yeah, I don't know who that one was. Yeah.
That sound was so specific. I thought it was in someone in someone's apartment. It really had that timbre.
No.
Yeah.
That's the guy looking at the food after he just microwaved it. He's not impressed. Like we said, I'm not an expert on this guy's other politics, so we're staying out of that.
I think I can generally say we don't agree with him.
Okay,
but based on the cursory research I have done.
Okay, so then there's that, and but hey, you know, if people want to be your younger in official documentation, even though they were
that already, I respect.
Then you know, enjoy. So,
let's do plugs.
Best of luck.
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Really brute forcing the Lou Bega into this here. Patreon.com/whatatimepod. That's the best way to support the show. We got lots of bonus episodes coming up on 200. Two movie commentary tracks, Roadhouse and Fate of the Furious. What else? We got live show video. We got archived live streams, including the Death Nut Challenge, Eli's Art Show. It's a smorgasbord over there. It's an embarrassment of riches. Only $5 a month to get into the main thing. If you're at the $10 level, you can subscribe and submit stuff to the Discord. If you're at the $5 level, you get free shipping at the merch store, which is whatatimepod.bigcartel.com. You also get a discount of that same $5 off of the tickets to our live show, which is July 8th. That's a Friday at the Gutter in Williamsburg. Tickets are on sale now. We will put a link in the description and also just we'll post it on social and stuff. It's 8 o'clock p.m. To be clear. We are not live streaming that one. We don't have that capability, but we will keep you informed as to recording and that kind of stuff, I believe. Let's see. Otherwise,
live stream.
Oh, live stream is coming this month. We're doing it on May 26th. Yep, 8 p.m. Eastern. And that'll be fun. We don't know what we're doing yet, but it's always a good time. So come hang out at that. That's, again, for patrons only. So really, just the main thing here is patreon.com/whatatimepod. We're also whatatimepod on Twitter, whatatimepod on Instagram, whatatimepodcast@gmail.com. I'm Patty Mo and all the stuff. I don't think I have anything to plug.
I have another podcast called Lie, Cheat, and Steal. It's a true crime podcast about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters. We just released a Patreon-only episode about Elizabeth Finch, who is the Grey's Anatomy writer who faked all kinds of personal tragedy in her life in order to work in show business. And that was recorded in person. Pat was just in New York, so it was very fun. We have a Patreon and a free feed for that. Check that out. I have a show this Friday at 8 p.m., my monthly show Paid Protest at Secret Loft on 14th Street, May 20th. Should be really fun. We're raising money for the DSA Anti-War Working Group, and we have a great lineup on that. So if you're in New York, definitely check that out. I'm Kath Barbadoro on social media. Follow me there.
I have actually two shows this week, surprisingly enough. If you want to see me, this Tuesday, I will be at Heart Bar in Bushwick at 8:30 p.m. And then on Wednesday, I will be at Young Ethel's at 7:30 p.m. Check either one of those out.
And listen to the bonus episode. Talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Bye.